If you ain't gonna watch it, what? Then you better set the tone right here on Pion Media.
So got ginger root.
Gotta have some ginger root.
All right.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's gross.
Yeah. No, not too
bad. I hope you record that part because I'm on record saying, I'm putting you on notice saying that's gross.
Well, I'm putting you on notice and saying that's healthy.
Oh, well, you know, choices,
you
get, man, choices.
But you got vodka in there?
You know it.
Yo, what's good, y'all? Y'all know who it is, man. It's the boy, Mr. Watch Your What? Watch your tone, man. Hold on, watch your...
Watch your tone, man.
And this is Set the Tone right here on Pion Media, where our platform is your opportunity. On Set the Tone, I like to feature individuals from all walks of life that I believe is setting the tone. And today...
I said it.
Yeah, today I'm honored. I'm
said
honored.
It, forget it.
I'm honored to have... You know, one of the original Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let y'all know that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the original Backstreet Boys.
I got kicked
Boys.
Out.
You got kicked? Okay,
yeah, I got kicked out.
We're going to talk about it. He also used to be the barber for Khalid.
Yeah.
You know, before he started asking new barbers for their location.
Mm-hmm.
Send me. Yeah. Okay. his wife is also Taylor Swift's best friend.
That's true.
That's true. That's facts. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all might not know. He was the person that, you know, influenced and encouraged Nick Cannon to wear a turban,
mm-hmm.
and also told T.I. he should put on a hat.
Mm-hmm.
But man, y'all don't...
I provide him with hats, actually.
You
once
provide
a month, I send 10 to him.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that's
yep.
a... Oh, shit! Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, what he did in the D with Big Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
We can't talk about that, though.
Okay. Okay. Man, we go on all day and, you know, down this man's resume. But I'm honored to have Brett Andrews from the Brett Andrews Show.
Hello.
Big FM.
Yes, sir.
Okay, 95.7,
mm-hmm.
as well as KISS Chicago,
mm-hmm.
KISS FM Chicago.
Right.
Z104 Madison.
Yep.
And 30, 40, 50 other 30 stations.
30 other stations. Oh, total 30. Of 30 stations.
And you're also a program manager.
I am,
Program director.
So,
yeah.
I do mornings. I do weekday mornings on Big FM.
Okay.
In Milwaukee.
Okay.
From 6 to 10, and then I do afternoons. While you work and Ozzy 104 in Madison,
okay,
2 to 5 in the afternoon, and then my weekend shows are on stations all across the country.
Oh.
About 30 stations.
Man, Brett, you do it all, man. You do
and
it.
And I'm the program director of Big FM and Z104 in Madison.
Okay, and we go dive into all of that, but
okay.
You know, first I want to play a little game with you.
Okay.
And this game called Go Crazy.
Go Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? And Brett, you gonna go crazy because
okay.
I'm gonna play two songs. And I want you to finish the lyrics.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Now, I think you know these lyrics.
I was not
I think
prepared for this.
You prepared for this.
All right,
man.
Let's
so
go. Let's go.
I want to play these two songs, man.
Okay.
And let's see if you got it.
Do I have to sing them or can I just say them? Because I have a terrible, terrible voice.
A little bit of both.
Okay. I'll do a sing talk. I do like a Kesha thing where I'll do a sing talk.
Oh, you going to just throw Kesha out? Like
yeah.
That? Okay.
She's my homie. It's okay.
So you want to play with my
horse.
You did it.
Come on now. I don't got it.
I'm ready.
There you go. See, you stopped it too late. I was ready with the lyrics.
Oh, okay. I thought you were ready for the perfect storm.
Oh my God.
All right. I'm sorry, Katy Perry.
And the reason I
failed.
The reason I did the Katy Perry song.
You know what it is I know the song. You just put me on the spot.
Oh, okay. And I know Katie gonna be mad at you because y'all have a relationship, huh?
Yeah, Katie. That if you're watching the video version of this stuff, that was a really fun night. That was in Atlanta a couple years ago.
Okay.
Katie was putting out a new album, and the record label invited a bunch of program directors before it was out.
Okay.
To fly to Atlanta, this the studio called Doppler Studios in Buckhead, which is I think a suburb of Atlanta. It's the only time I've ever been.
Yeah.
And they put us in the studio. It was amazing. It was all feng shui'd out with candles and vibes. You
okay,
know?
Set the mood right.
Yeah. And then they played us the entire album. So this is like the first time anybody had heard it.
Now was this your first time meeting her?
You know what? I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Interestingly, my sister and my dad met her before I did because. When I was working for iHeartRadio in Portland
okay.
years ago, this is like 2010, and my parents happened to come in town, and my sister happened to come in town to visit, and Katy Perry was in town, so I got tickets to the show, and we were going to do a meet and greet, but something happened. The meet and greet got changed to after the show instead of before, but I had a bar gig that night. I had to go to a bar gig, so my dad and my sister went to the meet and greet. I couldn't go. I was really upset that my old 6-year-old dad met Katy before me.
Right.
They got that picture.
But did Pops get this close?
No, Pops didn't hang.
I'm going to zoom in on the embrace. Yeah, there. Yeah. Y'all see him.
Okay. That's my girl right there. Yeah, it was fun. And she, you know, she played each song and kind of told the story behind each song. Yep. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. All right, so the next song here.
All right, here we go.
I think you got this
one. I hope I do better this time.
I think you got this one.
All right.
Oh, wait. That was my intro for when you was a part of the Backstreet Boys. Yeah. So I'm going to leave you alone.
Okay.
All right.
Like, girl, you know I want your love. Like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say,
girl, this is far too much. You know, this is harder than I thought, man. I sing along to all these songs on the radio, but you don't stop the song. If you would have just played the whole song,
right, you would have kept going, huh?
The whole thing.
Okay.
But when you
stop, I can run it back.
Run it. No, I'm done.
Hey, and the reason I played that because I wanted to know, tell me about your relationship with Ed Sheeran.
Eddie. Listen, I'll tell you something about Ed Sheeran that is amazing. And there's a few musicians and stars that are like this.
Okay.
Ed is so real and so genuine, okay? He's not...
I hear that a lot about him.
No hate against any other pop star or hip-hop artist, you know, but a lot of these guys and girls, they're very tightly packaged. Their look, their clothes, the whole nine is, from top to bottom, is organized and strategized.
Right. I just want to cut you off because imagine when we were at Summerfest and we were with Bebe Rexha.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a whole camera, a crew just to put a certain light
selfies.
On her.
Yeah,
for selfies.
So fans would come up. We did the meet and greet with Bebe. And Bebe was great. And she had one of her crew would hold up a light in the tent while fans were coming up taking selfies because she wanted to make sure her lighting was proper,
right.
And they would post them up on socials.
Right.
So Ed is a guy who I met first when he was just starting. You know, he wasn't the big, you know, selling out stadiums guy when I first met him.
Uh-huh.
He came by the radio station. He brought his guitar. He played some songs. It was very cool. Now, the thing that tends to happen, especially when you work in pop radio, is you see these guys when they're just starting out. And depending upon what happens, they blow up so fast.
Right.
You know, Bieber is another guy who I met when he was maybe 15 years old.
Okay.
He came to the Wisconsin State Fair, all right? And he came to, I was working at a different
Okay,
radio.
I didn't know, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't doing like a show there.
Okay.
This is before he even could have sold any tickets at the fair. Just got signed. He had just gotten, you know, kind of management and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And his song was first, his very first song was first starting to hit, okay? He's a 15-year-old kid, excited to be there. Maybe 10, 15, you know, people who were fans of his from YouTube showed up, etc.
Right.
And it was funny because he actually went to ride on some rides after we did the interview, and his manager came back, and I knew his manager a little bit, and his manager says, man, he was really disappointed because he was standing in line for the rides and nobody recognized him. And you fast forward to 1 year later, and this kid is the most famous person on earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran.
I bet he wish he had that now, though. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So Ed is a guy who just he would shock me because, you know, he meets 100 of me a year, 100 program directors, on air guys.
Yeah.
You know, but we sat down with Ed. My wife Michaela and I before we were married, we sat down with him in Chicago. He was doing a show, and we went backstage to say hello. And it had probably been at least a year or so since I'd seen him.
Uh huh.
And it wasn't like we spent a ton of time together or anything like that. But we sit down on the couch backstage, and he notices a tattoo. He's like, hey man, this one's new. You didn't have this one last time I saw you. I think to myself, oh my God.
Yay!
A year later, and this guy remembers what tattoos I had. Like,
right.
Literally, this dude sits down with radio guys every night of the year when he's on tour, you know?
Yeah.
And so the fact that he remembered that was just blew me away.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I'll never forget that night because it was the Allstate Arena in Chicago. It was the night before I asked my now wife to marry me. The next night, hit it.
Yeah. Yes. That's what's up.
Yeah, so the very next night, Michaela threw me a surprise birthday party.
Right.
And I flipped it on her because I was planning on asking her to marry me. So I had the ring and the whole nine, right? I purchased the ring like maybe 2-3 weeks before this. She totally surprised me. I'd never been more surprised in my life. And so she had my whole family, her whole family, all my friends.
Uh-huh.
And I walk up to my mom and I said, because my mom obviously knew that I was prepared to ask her. I think I'd even actually asked her mom permission to ask her.
Okay, you didn't ask?
Well, Pops passed away, unfortunately. Okay, so, it's all good. But, Michaela made it very apparent that that's important.
Old school. Right?
Old school, right?
Yeah.
Which I loved. Yeah. I was terrified.
Uh-huh.
And Ellen, my now mother-in-law, is wonderful. And she knew I text her. I'm like, hey, can I come by and talk to you about Michaela? She knew what I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I was still so nervous. But anyway, so I said to my mom, I go, all these people are here. Should I ask her tonight? She's like, sure. So I sent my brother to my mom's house, which is where I was stashing the ring.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want Michaela to find it. So my brother runs up like 30 minutes away to grab the ring, come back. And then she thought I was giving a little thank you for coming speech. And then I got down on a knee and
that's what's up, B.
She was a little mad that I stole the thunder.
Uh-huh.
She planned this big surprise party and I put the script on her a little bit, but
that's
it was
what's
great.
Up. Yeah.
Ed wasn't available to
come and sing for you guys afterwards and all that.
But we did have Shape of You was, or not Shape of You. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble because I can't think of the title.
For your wedding song.
For our wedding song, we had somebody sing it. We had her sister sing it, actually.
Okay, that's cool.
Michaela's
and
sister.
It was an Ed Sheeran song.
It was an Ed Sheeran song.
That's what's up, man. So do you stay in contact with Ed?
You know, when he comes to town, not really. I mean, when he comes to town,
man.
You know, we'll go by and see him at the show.
Right.
I mean, it's been a minute, obviously, because of the pandemic
COVID,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But, he's a great, great guy. Just a genuine guy.
Let me ask you, have you ever Googled yourself? Yeah.
It sounds like you have.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I Googled you and the other day.
What did you find? You probably found something incriminating.
Yeah, it was your Twitter page first and foremost. Your Twitter popped up, and I'm curious about this post. It says, you guys see it on the screen here. My OnlyFans account is just...
That is not me. Don't lie. You are lying.
It's just reading Shakespeare quotes in my heavy Southern accent.
Oh, shit.
Look, it's the picture. You see the picture?
You made a fake. My OnlyFans account is just me. Well, listen, if I had an OnlyFans, that's what it would be.
Oh, okay.
You want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Shakespeare in a heavy Southern accent. Here we go. Round me out, I'll round me out, ramp. No, wait, no, that's not Southern. Hold on. Hey y'all. Listen here, y'all. Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore art thou? Romeo.
I don't know. Can we give him some? That ain't it.
I feel honored that there's a fake Brett Andrews Twitter.
Somebody may have made that. I don't know, but they set in the tone.
Hashtag set the tone. I guarantee you,
man,
I know the person.
If you're watching this, man, you can also listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or you could go check it out at pionmedia.com. Y'all know what it is. But yeah, man, so let's jump back into the interview, B.
Sure,
and, I wanted to know, at what point did you know this is what you want to do?
It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do in my life. It is absolutely the only thing.
Damn.
I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a policeman because I thought the cars were cool, but I couldn't ever have. I don't have the right.
Right.
I don't have the right.
Physique.
Oh. I think I have plenty of donuts, but no. It's literally the only thing I've really ever wanted to do. I started, when I was in high school, I started a mobile DJ company. Okay. So I thought maybe that would be a good start. Yep. It really wasn't, but you know, and that kind of fizzled out. And then when I went to college, I got an internship.
But let me ask you, what's a mobile DJ company? How
like? Like a you do like DJ parties.
Oh, okay,
dances,
okay,
things like okay. that. So I did that, you know, for a minute when I was in high school. You know, I borrowed like $1,500 from my dad, and I set up business plan up. So it kind of started that. I mean, kind of entrepreneurial thing,
yep,
and
yep.
you know, I just anything that had to do with music and mics and. Lights and blah blah blah. I loved so
yeah.
you know I started doing then I did a bit, you know I had a little bit of success. You know I was DJing like Sweet 16s and a couple of dances at my high school and things
uh-huh.
like that. But you know honestly like I wanted to be on the radio. I don't want to be lugging you know speakers in and out of banquet halls for the rest of my
right.
life. You know what I mean?
But coming into the radio industry, did you know you wanted to just be on air? Did you think further than that, as far as like where you at now?
Yeah.
Did you think you'll
no, really,
LA
I didn't.
To this position?
No, I didn't. You know, when I started on my journey in radio, like what I aspired to was being on air and being, you know, in the biggest market possible.
Yeah.
My dream when I was starting off is I wanted to be on Kiss FM in Los Angeles. That was my dream. I mean,
yeah.
there's a guy who actually still works there. He's an afternoon jock. His name is JoJo Wright. JoJo on the radio.
Okay.
Coolest radio dude. I mean, I remember when I was in college, I used to sit in my dorm room. This is the early days of streaming. This is before iHeartRadio app and
right,
all that
right.
stuff. You could stream.
MySpace.
Some stations would stream on their websites.
Okay.
Just, you couldn't do it on your phone. I mean, because phones were big bricks at that. I'm old,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
yeah.
You know, and I remember I would sit in my dorm room and it was, you know, it was 2 hours delayed. So at like 10 o'clock, you know, it was 8 o'clock in LA
mm-hmm.
and I would listen to JoJo on the radio do his thing. And man, in fact, the first couple of years of my career, it's just me trying to sound
like
JoJo.
JoJo. Yeah,
it's just me doing my JoJo imitation.
Uh-huh.
Years later, because we both work at iHeart, we would actually become friends, and he's a good mentor,
yeah.
and friend. And we've done a couple of hits. He does a paranormal podcast. He's all into
okay.
spooky stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paranormal activities.
Yeah, so we did a podcast together. And
do you believe in that?
A little bit, you know.
Extraterrestrial.
Listen. This universe is too big for us to just be the only people
I agree.
Around.
I definitely agree.
You know?
Yeah.
But I never, first of all, you know, I never thought that I would be syndicated, which is a goal that I had, but, it doesn't happen to a lot of people. I
mean, right, right.
The change in technology and things like that have afforded me the ability to do my show for a bigger audience without having to travel.
Right.
There's a dude, you know who Tom Joyner is, right?
Yep.
Okay, so
yep.
Tom Joyner, he's considered the original fly jock because back in the day, before you could do multiple radio stations in one location, he would do mornings in Dallas. Okay, he would literally every day fly to Chicago,
That's
do afternoon
tough.
Drive in Chicago,
yeah.
fly back. So he would take two flights every single day, Dallas to Chicago, Chicago to Dallas, every day, Monday
That's
to Friday.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And talk about a hustler.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then the program director stuff. I, like I said, all I wanted to do was be on the air. I never really necessarily envisioned management coming into
right.
But, you know, it's one of those things where if you want to sustain a career, this is in the radio and music business, but any business really is, you know, making yourself as valuable as possible.
Uh-huh.
And you do that by being able to do as many things as possible. So,
agree.
You know, it's just all about having your hands on every aspect of the business because, you know, when they look at you then, they say, well, we got to keep this guy around because he can do A, B, C, D, E, and F. You
agree.
Know, right?
Yeah. So what obstacles and challenges have you faced, you know, going into this process or along this journey of yours?
Yeah. You know, it's a journey. It's been a long journey. I've been doing radio for 22 years now.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, it's different. It's a little different now than it was even when I was starting because of the advances in technology and things. But, you know, through most of my 20s, I was moving every 2 years or so. So I graduated from college and I started applying for jobs anywhere in the country.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you start off in, you know, smaller markets, smaller cities and smaller radio stations, and then you try to build a resume and build experience. So my first full-time job, so throughout college I worked at Kiss FM here in Milwaukee, which is an Odyssey radio station, our competitor.
Yeah.
But I worked there, and then you know,
conflict.
Nothing but love from my honest friends. And then I started at a small little radio station. My first full-time job was in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay, yeah.
Radio station called KFRX. You know, it's not every, you know, I grew up in a, you know, growing up in a bigger city like Milwaukee, wasn't my dream to move to Nebraska necessarily.
Right, right.
You know, Nebraska wasn't somewhere I ever pictured myself.
I went to school in Kansas.
Driving through Nebraska, not even, you know,
right.
Not living there. But again, you start in a smaller place and you build mm-hmm. up. Through the course of my, you know, the rest basically of my 20s and early 30s, I was moving every 2 or 3 years, you know, so it went from Lincoln, Nebraska to Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
Then I got my first kind of bigger break, and I moved to Las Vegas and did afternoons at a hip-hop station in Las Vegas called Hot 97.5.
Okay.
I hated Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out of there quicker.
Why? Why did you hate it?
It was just not, it was just not the right vibe for me.
Okay.
You know, some people love that crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really.
I think that's if you in the on the strip. You know what
I'm
saying?
If I was in a different point in my life,
okay.
If I was, you know, it just wasn't my world, you know what I'm saying? And so then I went to then I came back to Milwaukee. And then I moved to Portland and St. Louis and then back to Milwaukee. So I've been all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, been in a lot of places, a lot of cities, and it's hard, you know, it's hard packing your whole life up every couple of years
mm-hmm.
and getting in the U-Haul and it's, you know, it's something that I knew going into it that I probably would have to do for a while, but it's hard on personal relationships.
And that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Was this before?
It's before I met my wife.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, before I had kids, you know, now I've been married for 5 years.
You had an opportunity to do that, you know. Just,
So I'm glad I did it, but at this point, you know, looking back, it was cool for where I was in my life, a single guy who, you know, could pick up and move pretty easily. You know, I lived out of, you know, I lived in boxes and apartments and, you know, now I got two kiddos and a wife and it's not.
It made you well-rounded.
Yeah. I wouldn't give up those. I mean, those were fun times.
Yeah.
You know, when you know, those stations, you know, were big pop stations.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Portland, for example, I worked at a radio station called Z100. It's big, big, you know, pop, top 40
uh-huh.
station. And I was doing afternoon drive and I had, you know, bar appearances and everybody was excited. I mean, I was the mayor of that town for a couple of years.
Right,
you know
I believe
it. Everywhere I go, everybody knew me, you know. I'd go into bars and I wouldn't pay for drinks. You know, because everybody knew Brett Andrews.
Right, right.
100. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't real, you know, and I knew that.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
Would I want to do it again? No, I'm too old. I go to bed at 8:45.
I know you talked about, you know, working local as well as syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, local or syndicated, which one do you prefer or what are the difference?
I love my morning show. I love, I love being on the air in all these different cities.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. And I do my best. I work hard to make it sound as local as possible for my Chicago show and my Seattle and Hartford. And
so you got to make sure you're really acclimated with
mm-hmm.
the city itself.
Yeah. You know, and I connect on a weekly basis with the program directors and the people who are in those buildings. And I love my, you know, some of the, you know, because with 30 different markets, you can't get to know all of them and as well as you'd like. And it's a lot of fun, but I will say between the two, the most fun I have on the radio is when I'm doing my morning show in Milwaukee because my family's here, my wife's here,
it's home base.
I know, you know, I spent most of my life in Milwaukee, so to get to talk to, you know, my city, you know, every morning while they're on the way to work, connect with them on a personal level, because I know. I know the streets. I know this, you know, the suburbs. I know the different.
Hey, you rep hard. You know what I'm saying? You got the Brewers hat on.
Always.
Bucks fan. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah. So
Packers,
that's just, it's not only it's fun, but it's also easiest because I can relate to people more because I live the same lifestyle. I go to the same places. I go to Mayfair, you know, I go downtown, you know, or I did when, you know,
before
there was a pandemic,
exactly.
I had kids that are crazy, but so it's a lot of fun doing both. But if I had to choose one, I would absolutely unequivocally choose my morning show.
Yeah, that's love. So, how important is radio
or how important is a radio personality?
Well, listen, there are, that's a great question, man. There are so many places to get music now.
Right.
And to get content. You know, when I started in this business 22 years ago, you know, there wasn't streaming. You know, people had CDs in their car. That, you know, the iPod was first starting to be a thing. Uh-huh. You know, the little click. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the little clicks from the original iPods. You know, as time has progressed and technology has progressed, you know, we've gotten to a point now where, you know, with podcasting, with streaming,
right.
With, you know, I mean, I never dreamed that I would not have cable at my house, but we have, you know, 10 different streaming services,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
My son doesn't know what it's like
to have
to wait for their shows to come on.
Uh-huh.
Because if
to use
kid,
the TV guy.
Right.
Changing page, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to wait for your favorite show to come on Wednesday nights. Right?
Yeah.
My kid, if he wants to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, he just starts yelling, Daddy put Mickey Mouse Clubhouse
right,
on, you know.
Right.
The difference between, in my opinion, my less than humble opinion, because I'm not that humble, radio is different than other platforms because of one word, companionship. Okay. Because you can make the greatest Spotify playlist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make a Pandora playlist. Quite frankly, you can make an iHeartRadio playlist.
Right.
We do that.
Yep.
Okay. But
yeah.
The difference between that and a live radio show is that I am kind of going along with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just to go back to your previous question about, you know, what do I like best? The morning show, because I can jump on the air and say, man, we got a windshield advisory this morning. Bundle
mm-hmm.
up before you go out of the house.
Or
you
if
know,
there was an accident or something
if
that you could report.
Freeway,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Freeways, you know, backed up. You know, but more than even just that kind of what, that's those are called service elements.
Uh-huh.
You know, the weather, the traffic, you know, that kind of thing. The news, the sports, that's fine. But the difference is, because people can get that wherever they are too.
Right.
But the difference is when you make a connection with a person, when you tell a funny story about your wife and kids at home,
yeah.
When you give away a pair of tickets to something, you make that personal connection with somebody, and once you've done that, you've got them forever.
Yeah.
You know, if you make somebody laugh in the morning on the way to work, a Monday morning at 6:45, driving in the car, generally people are in lousy mood.
Right.
Who wants to be up on a Monday morning at 6:45? But if I can say something goofy, even self-deprecating, whatever it may be, and if I make somebody smile just even a little bit,
mm-hmm.
that connection is made. So from now on, that person, or if I can meet somebody at an event
uh-huh.
or connect with them on social media, they can then go, they'll remember that and they'll go, oh, I like to listen to Brett Andrews.
Right.
I could get my, you know, Bon Jovi and Bare Naked Ladies and Goo Goo Dolls anywhere. I could, but maybe Brett's going to say something that'll make me smile or whatever. That's the difference.
Man, that answer was so legit, man.
Yo, hashtag set the tone, man.
Life drop.
Yeah,
you can't ask me any more questions. I'm not going to have good answers to anything.
All right, well, this is my last question,
Okay.
My last question for
Hit
you.
Me.
What drives you the most? The fear of failing or the fear of not living enough?
Man, you struck me to the core on
let's
that.
Let's go.
You know, for me, I mean, it's changed a lot over the course of my career because just like I mentioned, you know, when I was starting out, when I was moving around in Portland, St. Louis, and
mm-hmm.
all these places, and Vegas, you know, I was like a single-minded individual. All I wanted was, I wanted to be the biggest radio star I could possibly be. I wanted to make the most money I could possibly make. I wanted the most listeners I could possibly have. You know, I mean... All the end all be all was to be in a major market, you know.
Right.
I do Saturday evenings on Kiss FM in Chicago. It's
okay.
The third largest market in the entire country behind New York and LA. And that's all I wanted in life, man. I wanted to.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm 40 now. I've got a son, Lennon, who's just about three, and my beautiful daughter, Luna, who's
mm-hmm.
7 months, and my wife, Michaela. And so it's changed from, you know, wanting to be Ryan Seacrest or Elvis Duran or Charlamagne Tha God,
yeah.
You know, be one of those guys. It's changed. And now, you know, my goal is simple, and it's the same as anybody else's. It's to enjoy what I do mm-hmm. and provide a good life for my family, yeah. and provide stability for my family. Really, that's it, you know? Okay. That's all I aspire to. Whether that's, you know, obviously I want to progress in my right. career and I want to make as much money as possible and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, regardless of what I'm doing, whether I'm on one radio station, 30, whether I'm on none, whether I'm, you know, a vice president of this or mm-hmm. that or the other thing in the future, you know, whether I become a market manager someday, you know, whether I'm a regional director of this, right. it doesn't matter. If I'm enjoying what I'm doing and my family is taken care of, that.
Man, yo, hey, this is Brett Andrews, man. Hey. He the hashtag set the tone, y'all.
Did I set it?
You set the tone. And honestly, man, I really want to thank you for joining me. And of course, the reason I got you on this show is because you inspire me.
Listen, I've known you for like 3-4 years now, man. You are one of the most driven human. I told Michaela, we were sitting and watching TV last night having some dinner, and I said, hey, I'm gonna be on Antonio's podcast tomorrow. And we started talking about you because my wife loves you too,
man. Yeah, she showed nothing but love since the day I met her. Yeah, so I definitely appreciate you.
And you know, the drive and the focus and the entrepreneurial spirit that mm-hmm. you have is just awesome, man. We love it. We love seeing your success.
That's love, B, man. Yeah, thank you for joining me on the second episode of Set the Tone, man. Make sure y'all check out Brett Andrews and the Brett Andrews Show.
You gonna put all my links up?
I'm gonna put all the links up, man. Cool. I can't put all 30. I'll put a few though.
All right, put some links up.
I'll put them up. Hey, and honestly, before you get up out of here, I do always give my guests a gift, man.
What did I get?
You got a gift right here.
Should I open it now?
You can open it. Go ahead. Bust it right open. Bust it right open, B.
I've been trying to get one of these since you debuted it.
Yeah, like me.
What? Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Zoom in.
Okay.
What?
So I hope that's the right size, man.
Man.
Brett Andrews, Mr. Watch Your Tone. Y'all just been put on notice.
Amazing.